Are you okay?
I hope so, yeah.
Or if it falls with you on it, then...
No problem.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Well,
thank you, Felix, and it's nice to follow the other speakers. I was pleased to hear Ellen. You know, with Ellen works with Medicine Sub Frontier, Doctors Without Borders, MSF, and to hear her comments on the provisions in the proposed declaration. I'm going to speak mostly about recommendation number 5 in medicines on the second page, the separation of the market for innovation and products that incorporate these innovations. But first, to motivate this, I'd like to, in terms of what the other speakers have said, my organization, the Consumer Project on Technology, looks at access to medicine in the same way we look at access to other knowledge goods as part of this bigger idea of access to knowledge. And the fruits of knowledge would be when you learn about something and you discover that a new drug works and it can be manufactured, the question is do you have access to that information? Do you have access to that invention? In the same way, other people may want to have access to software, or they may want to have access to cultural works or scientific literature. So it's logic to us to include this in this broader discussion. It's weird that we're the first program in this discussion, and it's primarily because of scheduling with other speakers that we're leading off instead of being sandwiched in the middle like we thought we would. But here we are, we're starting. Now, the neglected disease problem of tropical diseases and like malaria, tuberculosis, diseases that primarily affect the poor, is a very important example of the market failure in the current system, where the value of the invention is measured by the ability of the patients to pay. And the willingness to pay, even if the invention isn't new or isn't incrementally different. The idea that you could make a copycat drug for rich people is more important than a drug that affects a lot of people that are low income is one problem. Another problem is just that diseases that everyone suffers from, like diabetes or cancer or asthma or things, themselves are many barriers all over the world for access, north and south. The New York Times on the 11th of June had an article about diabetes where they said that 7 of the 10 countries with the highest number of diabetics are in the developing world. And they mentioned that India has an estimated 6% of the adult population now suffering from diabetes. And they mentioned that that in some countries the disease is a quick death sentence. They said a person in Mozambique who requires injections of insulin can expect to live just a year, 12 months. And in Mali, such people survive about 30 months. These are astonishing statistics about our inability to deliver medicines, sometimes because they require refrigeration or other different problems. But there's also problems in where I live in the United States. My brother, a computer programmer, was working as a contractor, got cancer, and it cost him $80,000 for treatments, including the cost of the medicines. And it was very difficult for him. I have another brother who's an uninsured diabetic patient and not always taking the right kind of medication. I have another family member who's going through the problems if another uninsured patient dealing with medication for psychiatric problems. And some of the new psychiatric medicines are extremely expensive and require difficult calibration for patients. And so the issue in also very important, I think, in areas like asthma, cancer, diabetes, psychiatric problems, etc., is that when prices of some products are very high, either the patient will only use the least expensive ones, or will not use any medicine at all, or when there's an insurance company or a government they will often discourage some medicines over the other kind of medicines. So the United Kingdom for many years did not fund Taxol, a cancer drug. And I remember talking to a woman who died, who had cancer, that was trying to get the drug coming to the United States. And it was not covered in England back then because of the price. And there's this constant tension between the high price of the drug and access. So you have these cost-effective formularies. So the WHO, in 2004, only 19 patented drugs on the essential drugs list. An amazingly restrictive formulary, if you think of it that way. It's less restrictive where I live, but it's becoming more restrictive. As a new drug costs $100,000 for cancer, people find ways not to pay for it. And the patients don't get the best science when it's available. So, and there's these other crazy things you see, like old drugs, like levamisil, new use for colon cancer, price goes from 6 cents a pill to $6 a day. Abbott has ritonavir, has a use for AIDS. They find a new use of boosting AIDS treatments. It's a five-fold increase in one day. Recently, Guardian has the story of Genentech saying they're going to have a 100-fold increase in the cost of using Avastin for blindness because there's a new use for it. And so they're going to find a way to go from $17 a dose to $1,700 a dose or something of that magnitude. So there's all these problems. So the idea of number five in the recommendation, which is behind a lot of the work that Tim has been working on and I've been working on and Ellen and other people have been working on and Nicoletta, is to separate the idea of the market for the product, which can be manufactured for pennies,